Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. This meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The meeting is, or the time is 9:02 on Thursday, January 29th, 2026. Members present are Representative Kopp, Representative McCabe, Speaker Edgman, and myself, Chair Stutes. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. We're asking the staff and members of the audience not to approach the table. If you need to pass a note to a committee member, please get the attention of my committee aide, Jane Pearson, and she will be happy to take care of your needs. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson of House Fisheries Committee Secretary. Nice to see you again, Andrew. And Zachary Longhorn from the Juno LIO for technology and teleconferencing support. We've also been joined by Representative Vance. I'd like to welcome everyone back to another exciting year of the House Special Committee on Fisheries. I'm excited to be chairing this committee once again and look forward to working with all of the members, stakeholders, and interested public on a host of issues critical to fisheries. At today's meeting, we will have our first hearing on HJR 29, a ban on Russian seafood. It's my intention to introduce the CS, have a brief invited testimony, and be finished with this meeting by 9:30 so that folks can attend the ICER presentation. Speaker Edgman, may I have a motion to bring the CS before the committee?
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for HJR 29 work draft 34-LS1314/N as a working document.
Thank you, Speaker Edgman. There being no objection, HJR 29 version 34-LS13114/N is before the committee as a working draft. Here to present the resolution today is Fisheries Committee staff member Matt Greening. Mr. Greening, would you please place yourself on the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Matt Greening, staff to the House Fisheries Committee. I know we're on a tight timetable, so I'll keep this brief. There's a redline version in members' packets and on basis showing the differences between version A, the root version of the bill, and version N, which we just adopted, so I will not go through those. But I will just note that these came directly from ASME and from folks in the fishing industry with some good edits after they viewed the root version. Alaska's seafood industry is facing a serious threat from Russia's seafood industry. Russia's unfair trade practices and unmarket practices, state-subsidized fishing fleet and processors, as well as the dumping of unsustainably managed seafood into international and domestic markets, have placed our fishermen and our seafood industry in a really tough spot. Executive Order 14024 was originally implemented in 2021 and was expanded by Executive Orders 14068 and 14114. 14068 expanded it so that it actually included seafood as part of the ban. The original 14024 was actually just declaring the economic disaster related to Russia. And 14114 was closing the loophole to where you could not basically send to a third-party country of origin and then get it back into the United States. So Executive Order 14024 was extended on April 10th, 2025 for a period of 1 year. It's set to expire this year on April 15th. And the resolution calls on our president to extend the executive orders, and it further calls on President Trump, federal agencies, and our congressional delegation, and the United States Congress as a whole to enhance federal enforcement of the executive orders and ensure fair trade, protect Alaska's seafood industry, and promote sustainable and ethical seafood production. And really what that means is we need more money, better enforcement. A small amount of these containers are inspected, and so we're looking to really beef up, send a message to Congress to beef up that enforcement. And with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Representative Vance.
Thank you. Through the chair, thanks, Matt. This is great. I supported the first one, support the second one, but I do have a question about the issue that we're having that Russia is selling pollock to Europe using our name, our brand. Is that something that these executive orders have been able to address? Is this an appropriate venue for that topic to be included in here, part of it for public awareness and to alert, you know, the administration that this is an issue that's impacting the sale of Alaska seafood?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, I think anything that strengthens our protection against Russian seafood imports, particularly the misbranding of Alaskan seafood and American seafood, I think is appropriate for this resolution. And I will punt the detailed part of that answer to our invited testifiers, Jeremy Woodrow from ASME and Julie Decker from PSPA, because I think they'll be able to give you a little bit more nit and gritty of what's going on and how to best address that. But I think that would be perfectly appropriate in this.
Follow up,
Representative Vance.
Thank you. This is actually a separate question, and I know that we're tackling the issue of Russian seafood, but we know that the Asian markets and also those boats over in our waters have been impacting our fisheries in a big way. Is there any movement along the same lines of what we've been doing to address the Russian markets and really make a stance as the United States saying that we're going to ban Russian seafood? Has there been any conversation about doing the same with some of the Asian markets that are detrimentally impacting our American seafood?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, I worked directly with ASME on this resolution on the wording, and their specific request was for to extend this particular ban, but I am sure they would be open to conversations and additional, you know, language and legislation that would address, you know, other issues with unfair trade practices related to essentially what is also probably an unsustainably managed fishery. So I will again kind of, I think that Jeremy Woodrow would probably be the best person to address that during his invited testimony. But thank you for the question. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there other questions? Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Chair Stutz. And I don't quite know how to frame this. I've seen several reports this summer, mostly, of fish that's fished not in Alaska waters, but in Alaska waters, so in the Gulf of Alaska or in the Bering Sea or other places, that is loaded directly onto a ship, never crosses our shores, it's taken to Asia, and I'm curious if we are spending money through ASME to label that Alaska fisheries, ASME fish, essentially, and it never touches our shores, never crosses our borders. We get essentially very minimal money from it. And I'm wondering how we can justify, if, and maybe this is it for the invited testifier as well, how we can justify spending the money when the fish never really benefit Alaska whatsoever. They come out of our waters, they go to Asia. Who knows? They might go to Russia eventually, and they're coming back to us as Russian fish. So this is a thorny problem, and it's, you know, with new technology, people, the people that are watching can see which ships are where and where they're parked. And frankly, there was one parked this summer right outside of Dillingham in international, you know, in the EEZ, but outside the 3-mile limit. Loaded a pile of fish, allegedly, and took it to Asia, never crossed our borders. So this is something I think that we need to address eventually, especially if we're spending money on those fish to label them as ASME fish, and they're really, really not, because we get no benefit from them.
Representative McCabe, I don't disagree with you, and I think that's something that we can certainly move forward with in this committee, but I don't think
it may not be pertinent to this particular issue. Unless they're going to Russia, we don't really know, because once they get out of our waters, we can't see where the ship's going.
Right. So I think this is something that, as time goes, we could address. But I definitely appreciate the comments.
Sure. Yeah.
Representative Cobb.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Green, for bringing this in front of the committee. You know, I am excited about the message that this resolution sends. It's very, very timely for the industry. And in 2022, we were getting 47 to 50 cents a pound in Bristol Bay. And this last summer, we got in the high $1.50s. Some people got $1.60 a pound. That was a significant part of that price increase was these emergency, these executive orders prohibiting the importation of Russian seafood. So it directly benefited the entire processing industry, and this really matters. I mean, it makes the fishery viable. So thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. Other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Greening. And with that, we will go to our invited testifiers, and we will start with Julie Decker. Julie is the Executive Director and President of Pacific Seafood Processors Association. Ms. Decker?
Good morning, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Stutz and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Julie Decker. I live in Wrangell, and I'm the president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, or PSPA. PSPA is a trade association which represents major seafood processors with 50 facilities in 22 coastal communities, everywhere from Ketchikan to Cordova, Kodiak to Unalaska and Bristol Bay. PSPA companies buy fish from thousands of independent commercial fishermen across the state and in almost every fishery. The health of the seafood industry, as you know, is critical to Alaska as it generates $6 billion in economic activity in Alaska annually. It creates 48,000 direct jobs. It's the state's largest manufacturing and export sector, and it lowers costs of transportation for all Alaskans. PSPA strongly supports House Joint Resolution 29 as it's one of the few levers that we can pull to protect the Alaska seafood industry from unfair competition from Russia. Maintaining these sanctions is essential for enabling fair competition for Alaska seafood in the U.S. domestic market. Further, more must be done to address the severe negative impacts of Russia's acts, policies, and practices, which restrict U.S. commerce and greatly disadvantage the Alaska seafood industry in domestic and export markets across the globe. Let's remember how we got here. In August 2014, Russia first prohibited imports of U.S. seafood as a countermeasure to U.S. sanctions against Russia after it invaded and annexed a part of Ukraine. Therefore, U.S. seafood has not had access to the Russia market and has not been able to be exported to Russia for almost 12 years. Yet, through May of 2024, imports of Russian seafood into the U.S. continued to climb. This is the exact opposite of fair trade for the U.S. seafood industry. In 2023, the Alaska seafood industry faced historically challenging economic conditions. NOAA estimated the losses felt by Alaska in 2023 was $1.8 billion. Russia's actions were a critical part of the economic downturn that Alaska felt, as Russia is a prime competitor with Alaska seafood. Because of our proximity, we both harvest wild salmon, wild crab, wild cod, and wild pollock, which comprise the majority of the seafood harvested in Alaska. Additionally, Russia salmon and pollock fisheries are certified as sustainable by Marine Stewardship Council, and Russia sells its salmon as, quote, Pacific salmon, and sells its pollock as, quote, Alaska pollock, further eroding the ability of consumers to differentiate it from Alaska seafood in the marketplace. In 2024, the complete ban on all Russian seafood in the United States began in May, although increased imports of Russian seafood flowed through China into the U.S. just prior to the ban, which meant that in reality, Russian seafood was still in U.S. shelves until approximately January 1st, 2025. Throughout 2025, the prohibition of Russian seafood has helped to stabilize the Alaska seafood industry. What's even more disturbing, during the same period since 2014, Russia, China, and North Korea have been investing in the strategic development of a seafood hub that consists of building new infrastructure for the harvest, movement, processing, and trade of seafood in the region where these three countries share a border. For example, in Hanshin Port on the Tumen River, new seafood processing facilities, roads, railways, and ports have recently been built, making the movement of Russian harvested seafood into Chinese processing facilities and shipment of finished goods very efficient. As well, it's been reported that recently North Korean workers are being used on Chinese fishing vessels and processing facilities. This level of strategic cooperation and investment in a region where environmental and labor standards are well known to be far below U.S. standards are examples of seafood production that leaves U.S. seafood companies non-competitive. In 2026, there are still many unknown risks related to trade and tariffs. However, if the prohibition on Russian seafood imports is extended, this will provide some continued stability in the domestic market. Additionally, U.S. seafood has access to the Russian market. Additionally, until U.S. seafood has access to the Russian market, maintaining this prohibition will help the U.S. gain competitiveness, which is also a goal of President Trump's executive order titled Restoring American Seafood Competitiveness. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for your consideration of this very important resolution. I'll stay online if there's any questions.
Thank you. Ms. Decker, are there any questions for Ms. Decker? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. And with that, I will have Mr. Woodruff come before this committee for invited testimony, please. If you would state your name and your affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Chair Suits. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow, Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Market Institute. And thank you to members of the committee for having me here today. The resolution really speaks to itself, and Ms. Decker really spoke to the high points of the importance of this Russia seafood ban. So in my testimony today, I'm going to speak to some anecdotal information I'd like to share about what's going on in the marketplace right now. And it's stuff that we can't really put on paper yet because we're not seeing these results come to fruition in numbers yet. And the reason is, and Julie in her testimony spoke to this very well, was that when the ban was put in place, there was a grace period. So when the full ban was put in place in December 2022, there was a grace period to May 2024 for seafood companies in the U.S. to stockpile foreign caught seafood, mainly Russian seafood, whether it's directly from Russia. Actually, in this place, it was by way of China. That stockpile, we estimated that time could have lasted anywhere from a year to 18 months. So that puts us well into beginning of 2025 and even further into 2025. That was very evident in what we were seeing in our partnerships and our conversations with different seafood companies, whether they're retailers or food service operators across the U.S. However, in late 2025, we started to see a monumental shift. We started to see a shift from conversations we're having with major seafood operators, both retailers as well as food service operators, coming to ASME and saying, well, we're now buying 100% Alaska seafood. Let's have a conversation on how we can promote Alaska seafood. The call out on front of packaging is now changing. As Ms. Decker pointed out, it used to just say Pacific salmon or generically wild caught, because that would apply to both Russian and Alaska seafood. Now the call out is being Alaska salmon, Alaska cod, Alaska pollock on front of the package. Consumers in the U.S. can be confident that that fish is indeed coming from Alaska. This allows ASME to put both the fishermen's hard-earned dollars, the dollars that this legislature and Governor Dunleavy appropriated in this last legislature, to put toward these promotional dollars in the U.S. marketplace, where we know that we can grow value for our products. The U.S. market is the largest single market for our products, and we need to continue to capitalize that and grow on it. As Ms. Decker pointed out, we have a lot of challenges in the international marketplace. Reciprocity with Russia is only fair to make sure that if we don't have access to their market, they should have access to ours until that's corrected. Let's make sure that we can continue to give our fishermen and our processors fair opportunity to compete in the U.S. marketplace. So we're seeing change. We need this ban to stay in place, though, because we need to see this change really come to fruition. Yes, prices came up a little bit last year. 1 year does not mean that we've solved all of our problems. We need to see that this can continue and we have some stability. We have year after year of stable prices so that our fishermen can get back on their feet, so our processors can actually predict what's going to happen in the future, and we can see those profits return back to the state of Alaska.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Woodrow? Representative Vance.
Thank you. And thanks, Jeremy, for being here. I'm a little embarrassed to ask this because I should know because I'm a board member. However, I've missed the last couple of board meetings. And my question is, has the board considered including the conversation about the impact of Russia partnering with China in what's an incredible shift in highlighting to the administration and Congress that at one point that was, what, up to 30% of our market? And the impacts of that, is that something that the board has discussed? I mean, I think this resolution is great, but there's a bigger picture here that involves China that I think the president needs to be aware of how that coordination is having a much bigger impact.
Through the chair to Rep. Vance, that's a great point that you bring up, and we actually haven't discussed it at that great of a detail at the board level. Probably is something that we should bring up at the board level. Trade relations, international trade relations, have been an incredible challenge over the last few years. It's really moved our markets. We've seen where our fish is being exported has moved substantially, and you're right. China used to be one of our largest export markets. Prior to 2018, it was a 1 billion export market. That's down to 500 million. So it's dropped in half since that time. So you're right. There are challenges, and the increase of cooperation between Russia, North Korea, and China, it makes it even more difficult for us to compete.
Follow up, Representative Vance.
Thank you for that. I don't want to slow down this resolution at all, but I'd love to have more conversations on how maybe a second resolution or something that we can do to highlight this issue. So my next question is regarding Ukraine. We did have a market in Ukraine for a time. Has that market been able to open up at all in the recent year since there's been shifts in the war?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, the entire Eastern European market continues to be volatile, and that's due to the ongoing war in Ukraine. You're right, Ukraine was a growing export market for Alaska seafood products. There still is a little bit of product going into Ukraine. What we're actually seeing is more exports going into neighboring countries. That's where either residents of Ukraine have fled to, or where it's easier to still do business and then use those neighboring countries to be able to move product into that region of the world.
One more follow-up?
Certainly. Representative Vance.
Thank you. Do you think that it would help this resolution by including, number one, the first that I mentioned, the topic of Russia selling pollock to Europe under our brand? And the second one is mentioning that we did have a market in Ukraine that has been impacted by the Russian war that we don't have now. Will those help the resolution, or would they be a distraction?
Through the chair, Rep. Vance, it would substantially increase the size of the resolution. I don't know if it would hurt the resolution, because we are talking about our challenges with Russia and how we compete with Russia in the global marketplace. I will say that as drafted, this resolution is very specific to the U.S. marketplace. If it's the committee's will, we could definitely help Rep. Stutz's staff put together additional whereases and strengthen it up to include points about the international marketplace, such as the Alaska nomenclature issue that we have in the European market, such as our challenges with competing in China, our challenges in Ukraine, and so forth. So it would definitely, we'd probably add a couple more pages to it, but that's not impossible to do. Or if it's the will of the committee, we could definitely help you craft another resolution as well, too.
Well, thank you for that clarification. Yeah. I think that does help my understanding that this is specific to the domestic, and I think it would probably be appropriate for a separate one on the international. So thank you for allowing my indulgence of questions.
Certainly, and I would tend to agree with you on that comment. Are there other questions for Mr. Woodrow? Seeing none, we'd like to thank you for coming up and testifying before this committee. And at this time, I'd like to set HJR 29 aside until our next scheduled meeting on Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026. I am setting a deadline amendment, an amendment deadline. Let me get that in the right order. For 1 p.m. Monday, February 2nd. And I would like to thank this committee for the rapid response in allowing this bill to become a committee bill. I think it carries a little bit more weight with it coming from this committee. And so I am grateful to you all for your willingness to do so. And with that, and no further business to come before this committee, we did it. We will adjourn at 9:28.